We're continuing the Ramban, Torat Hashem Tmima, and we're up to the second chapter, the 11th paragraph, Vatayodea. And you know, I don't know what page it is on yours, we could look for it. Vatayodea, ki emunat kol adam mibalei haTorah, that every person who accepts the Torah, every person who accepts the Torah agrees that the one who wrote the stories of Genesis, the one who wrote the stories of Bereishis, was Moshe Rabbeinu.
With the Rechilut thing, does that mean that if you saw something at a party?
Just a minute. Here you go. Vashim. Over here. If you could just move the bookmark at the end of our learning. Vashim mipi vikra lo kol advarim alashon be'atzmo. One of the basic concepts we say about Torah is that every word in Torah was dictated by Hashem. Now, this is a very important concept. We say that when a prophet sees prophecy, they see a vision, and then they're given a heavenly interpretation of what that vision means, but they use their own wording. Meaning, when Isaiah describes his prophetic visions, and you see that Isaiah is filled with poetry, well, that's Isaiah's expression of the prophecy he saw. So we say that when it comes to the prophets in general, all the prophets, they use their own signon, the Gemara says. The Gemara goes so far as to say, Ein shenei nevi'im mitnabe'im besignon echad. Two prophets cannot tell over the same prophecy using the same style. That means that the Navi tells us a story that the kings, the Judean king and the king of Israel, were contemplating whether to go to war or not. And they said, let's call the man of God. And the prophet was summoned. And the prophet came in, and all the prophets were saying, go up and succeed, go up and succeed. So you have 150 prophets, they're all saying the same line, go up and succeed. So the real prophet comes in, and he says, no, go ahead. So maybe we'll learn it inside. It's a fascinating story. So we're at the end of what they call the first kings, Kings Melachim Aleph, Kings A. And the king Yehoshaphat of Judea is joining forces with the king of Israel. And he says, the time has come to travel to Ramot Gilad and take it back from the king of Aram. So the king of Israel gathers 400 men. The king of Israel is Ahav. And Ahav and Yehoshaphat, the king of Judea, their children married. So they were relatives. So we have a certain end to the warring between the north and the south, the northern 10 tribes in Judea. And Ahav is there with Yehoshaphat. And Ahav summons 400 men, and he asks them, should I go up to Ramot Gilad? And they say, go, and Hashem will give it in the king's hand. And Yehoshaphat says, is there no prophet of God? Can we ask him? And Ahav says to Yehoshaphat, there is a man, but I hate him, because he always tells me bad words. And his name is Michayu ben Yimla. So Yehoshaphat says, no, have him brought here. So they send a eunuch, and they tell him, rush over Michayu ben Yimda. So they're sitting, wearing their royal clothing, and all the prophets are prophesizing in front of them, and they all say, go up to Ramot Gilad and you'll succeed. Hashem will give it in the hands of the king. So the messenger who came to Michayu said to him, you know, all the prophets are telling the king that things are going to be good. Please give prophecy just like them. Michayu says, I'm going to say whatever God tells me. So Michayu comes, and what?
Is prophecy also like a dream, where the way that you interpret it?
Oh, no, no. So Ahav says to him, Michayu, should we go to Ramot Golad to war or cease? And he says, go and be well, you should be successful, Hashem should let you succeed. So the king realizes that he's playing a game. He's not answering him what God said. He's wishing him well. You asked me whether you should go? Go, good luck. So he says, I make you swear that just tell me in the name of God the truth. So he says, oh, well, God says, Hashem showed me a vision, and all of Israel is scattered over the mountains like sheep that have no shepherd. And Hashem declared, these people have no master, but let them all go home in peace. So in other words, he's saying, you, Ahav, will die, but the rest of Israel, the troops will come back scattered in peace. So Ahav tells Yehoshaphat, I told you he always tells me bad things. So Michayu says to him, oh, okay, so let me tell you. What I saw is Hashem was sitting on his throne. And there was a heavenly court proceeding, discussions about whether they should give you a good ruling or a bad ruling. And Hashem said, who will seduce Ahav to go up to Ramot Gilad, and that's where he'll fall? And the different forces in heaven, this one said, I'll do it this way, and that one said, I'll do it that way. And then a spirit went out. The spirit of Navos, your relative who you murdered, the spirit of Navos and his children who you murdered and took their inheritance, your own relative, you wanted his vineyard, so you took it from him. And the spirit of Navos came out and said, I'll go seduce him. And Hashem asks him how, and he says, I will be a false prophecy in the mouth of all his prophets. And Hashem says, seduce, you'll succeed. So now, says Michayu, all your prophets here, they're all lying. Because Hashem said bad's going to happen to you, Ahav. And at that point, one of the false prophets, Tzidkiah ben Kenana, who had made himself gold horns, and he said, just like these horns can ram someone, you will ram and destroy the Aramean forces. So he goes up to Michayu and smacks him on the cheek and says, how can you dare say I don't have prophecy, that God has left me? And Michayu said, you will see on that day that you will go hiding, a room within a room. You'll find the most secluded place to hide. And with that, the story ends. Our sages say, how did Michayu know they were all lying? When he showed up, they were all saying the same line. Go up to Ramot Gilad and succeed. Go up to Ramot Gilad and succeed. And we have a tradition that even though multiple prophets can get prophecy at the same time and the same prophecy, so they'll see a vision, and prophecy means he sees a vision with his soul, and then he gets a heavenly inspiration as to the interpretation of the vision. So in prophecy, we have two things that are heavenly, the vision and the interpretation. However, the expression of the prophecy is the expression of each individual prophet. And that's why when Michayu ben Yimla hears all the prophets using the same terms in their prophecy, he says, this isn't prophecy. It can't be they're saying the same words. So had we not had this tradition, we would have said, that's the best proof that God said it. 400 men were tricked. Michayu says, can't be. You can't have two prophets using the same terminology. The Gemara words it as, Ein shenei nevi'im mitnabe'im. Two prophets cannot give over prophecy b'signon echad, with one style. Because the style with which they express it, that's a reflection of the prophet himself. The vision, the message, that's God. the style, that's the prophet. And so we find the terminology of Ezekiel, Yechezkel, is different than the terminology of Yeshaya. The terminology of Yeshaya is different than the terminology of Yoshua. As we evolve in Jewish history, we see different terms. We see the language evolve. So if it's all the Word of God, why does that matter? The answer is it's all the Word of God. The message is the message of God. But the words, the expression, that's the expression of each prophet. And so if Yirmiyahu did not get an education, so his prophecies reflect a certain element of I don't want to say lack of education, but a certain element of limited vocabulary. And this is the Abarbanel points this out in his introduction to Jeremiah, that the prophecies of Jeremiah reflect the fact that he became a prophet at a very young age, and he never was able to develop his education in language the way other prophets had. So his prophecies, they're godly, they're everything, but they're an expression of him. So Isaiah, the Navi Yeshaya, is very poetic. Yes, that's his expression. It could be that Yeshaya and Yechezkel saw the same vision, but Yeshaya represents it with his oratory skills and Yechezkel with his. And that's what the Talmud calls signon, the style of the prophet. So what Ramban is telling us here in one short sentence is a very important concept. This idea that the prophecies are an expression of godly thought, godly message, eternal truths, but the style is the style of that prophet. That's true about every prophet other than Moshe. When it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, here we say every word was dictated by God. If prophets saw visions and got understandings from God, and then they used their own wording to give over the message, that's every other prophet but Moshe. With regards to Moshe, every word of the Torah was dictated by Hashem, says the Ramban. So that's a very important difference. Now, it also has ramifications. We say that when you learn prophets, Nevi'im, right, you have to understand what's the message. You can't just read the words. I'm being holy. I'm reading words I don't understand. You know, that's people sometimes say Tehillim that way. And they say, even if I don't understand, it's prayer, it's okay. God will accept my prayer. Fine, that's legitimate. But when it comes to learning, you're not learning if you don't know what you're saying. In Torah, even if you don't know what you're saying holy words. So the prophets are also holy. We don't put this on the floor. We don't sit down on a chair where this is. It's holy, but your learning is when you understand it. In Torah, your learning is when you say the words. You also have to understand it, but just saying the words is holy. In prophets, we say you have to understand what you're learning for it to be learning Torah. You have to understand the concepts. Yes, it's holy, but it's different. You guys, you're seeing the difference? Okay. What I just said now happens to be a point of contention. It's a machloket Rashi Rambam, whether you actually get a mitzvah from just reading the words of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. But we went one route. And those who want to see more on this, it's in a work called Machazei Elyon. Rabbi Sender from Chicago wrote an article summarizing the opinions about the prophets and whether you get a mitzvah from just reading the words of Nevi'im. Yes, were there questions? No. Okay, so we read one sentence in the Ramban, but it's an important sentence, and that is that what the Ramban said, that anyone who's part of the Torah, we know that the book of Bereishis, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it with prophetic vision, and Hashem told him every word, v'ukotev ala sefer bidyo. He would write down every word Hashem told him. So that's the point we learned today, and we also learned the overview, the broader understanding of why this is so important. This is very different than what we say about other prophets. With other prophets, the message is godly, the vision is godly, the words are the prophets. With Moshe Rabbeinu, the words are Hashem's. And maybe we'll develop this with one more concept. You guys ready? Can we do one more concept? Yes? The Talmud words it as Kol ha-nevi'im itnabe'u be'aspaklaria. All the prophets had prophecy be'aspaklaria. They saw their visions with an aspaklaria. What is an aspaklaria? It means they saw it through glass. Aspaklaria means they saw it through a glass. And Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is called Aspaklaria Meira. It was glass that was shiny in the sense that the light shone straight through. It's like looking through a window. You saw clearly what you were seeing. It still was looking through something, but it was looking through clear glass. Other prophets had an Aspaklaria She'ina Meira. They saw their visions through glass, but it wasn't as clear. In other words, so the Ramah, Rabbi Moshe Iserlish, wrote a work of philosophy. Most people don't know that the Ramah also wrote a work on Jewish thought, a Kabbalistic work on Jewish thought. And the Ramah says that the other prophets had more of themselves in the prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu was smooth. As the Talmud coins it, the Talmud says, Shechina medaberet, Hashem's presence was speaking, mitoch girono shel Moshe, from the throat of Moshe. Meaning when Moshe opens his mouth and says Torah, it's God talking. Moshe's words are God's words. But every other prophet is saying, I saw a vision and God gave me this interpretation. He gave me the vision and the interpretation. But there's a part of him in the prophecy, in the sense that it's his style. The interpretation is godly, but it's his style. That's the idea, according to the Ramah, that the other prophets didn't have it as clear as Moshe. If Moshe gets every word, they get the vision and the message. They don't get every word. And there's a certain amount of them in the prophecy. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, there was nothing of him. And here we see also that the more humble a person is, the more a person says, I'm here to be a funnel for humanity, the more God can shine through that person. Moshe, who was the epitome of humility, he could also be the funnel. He could be the one who gives over the word of Hashem, the words, the literal words of the Torah, because he was so humble. And this is a point to think about, because you could develop it further and further and further, this idea. The idea of how Moshe was the funnel that transferred the word of Hashem to the world. Once in the history of the world did you have a man who was given this task. It's a one-time thing that Hashem says, I'll tell you what I want, word by word, dictated for the Torah. That's one of the aspects that makes Moshe's prophecy unique and very different than all the other prophets. Okay, today we covered a ton. We did one line in the Ramban, but that line, as we see, is really, really full.